Father, by Gary Soto. My father was showing me how to water. Earlier in the day, he and a friend had leveled the backyard with a roller. Then, with a 2x4, they dragged on a rope to fill in the depressed areas, after which they watered the ground and combed it slowly with a steel rake. They were preparing the ground for a new lawn. They worked shirtless in the late summer heat, and talked only so often, stopping now and then to point and say things I did not understand. How fruit trees would do better near the alley, and how the vegetable garden would do well on the east side of the house. "Put your thumb like this," he said. Standing over me, he took the hose and placed his thumb over the opening so that the water streamed out hissing and showed silver in that dusk. I tried, and the water hissed and went silver as I pointed the hose to a square patch of dirt that I soaked, but was careful not to puddle. Father returned to sit down with an iced tea. His knees were water-stained, and his chest was flecked with mud. Mom sat next to him, garden gloves resting on his lap. She was wearing checkered shorts, and her hair was tied up in a bandana. He patted his lap, and she jumped into it girlishly, arms around his neck. They raised their heads to watch me, or look through me, as if something were on the other side of me, and talked about our new house, the neighbors, trees they would plant, the playground down the block. They were tired from the day's work, but were happy. When Father pinched her legs as if to imply they were fat, she punched him gently and played with his hair. The water streamed nickel-colored as I slowly worked from one end to the next. When I raised my face to Father's to ask if I could stop, he pointed to an area that I had missed. Although it was summer, I was cold from the water, and my thumb hurt from pressing the hose, trigger-like, to reach the far places, but I wanted to please him, to work as hard as he had, so I watered the patch until he told me to stop. I turned off the water, coiled the hose as best I could, and sat with them as they talked about the house and stared at where I had been standing. The next day, Father was hurt at work. A neck injury. 2 days later, he was dead. I remember the hour, 2 in the afternoon. An uncle slammed open the back door at Grandma's, and the three of us, Cousin Isaac, Debbie, and I, who were playing in the yard, grew stiff because we thought we were in trouble for doing something wrong. He looked at us, face lined with worry, and shouting to hurry to the car. At the hospital, I recall Mother holding her hand over her eyes as if she was looking into a light. She was leaning into someone's shoulder and was being led away from the room in which Father lay. I remember looking up, but saying nothing, though I sensed what had happened, that Father was dead. I did not feel sorrow, nor did I cry, but I felt conspicuous because relatives were pressing me against their legs, or holding my hand, or touching my head tenderly. I stood among them, some of whom were crying while others had their heads bowed and mouths moving. The three of us were led away down the hall to a cafeteria where an uncle bought us candies that we ate standing up and looking around, after which we left the hospital and walked into a harsh afternoon light. We got into a blue car I had never seen before. At the funeral, there was crying. I knelt with my brother and sister, hands folded and trying to be patient, though I was itchy from the tiny coat whose shoulders worked into my armpits and from the heat of a stuffy car on our long and slow drive from the church in town. Prayers were said, and a eulogy was given by a man we did not know. We were asked to view the casket, with our mother and the three of us to lead the procession. An uncle helped my mother while we walked shyly to view our father for the last time. When I stood at the casket, I was surprised to see him, eyes closed and moist-looking, and wearing a cap the color of skin. Years later, I would realize that it hid the wound from which he had died. I looked quickly and returned to my seat, head bowed because my relatives were watching me and I felt scared. We buried our father. Later that day at the house, Grandma could not stop shaking from her nerves, so a doctor was called. I was in the room when he opened his bag and shiny things gleamed from inside it. Scared, I left the room and sat in the living room with my sister, who had a donut in her hand with one bite gone. An aunt, whose face was twisted from crying, looked at me and, feeling embarrassed, I lowered my head to play with my fingers. A week later, relatives came to help build the fence Father had planned for the new house. A week after that, Rick, Deborah, and I were playing in an unfurnished bedroom with a can of marbles Mother had given us. Behind the closed door, we rolled the marbles so that they banged against the baseboard and jumped into the air. We separated, each to a corner, where we swept them viciously with our arms, the clatter of the marbles hitting the walls so loud I could not hear the things in my heart.